Okay, I think we're live. We're live on YouTube as well as on Twitter. So hi all, welcome to the stream. Game Week 23, double Game Week 23, both for City and Arsenal. Game Week 22 is still going on. So United and Leeds are yet to play tonight. So we'll see how that goes on with triple captainness. But yeah, we wanted to jump on a bit early, discuss a lot of things, looking at Game Week 23 assets, players to pick. Also, we got a very shocked double Game Week announcement. We're pretty much expecting it, but not four teams to double. That's Wolves, Liverpool, Everton, and remind me the other team.
Arsenal.
Yeah. Arsenal.
So these four teams are doubling, especially Arsenal assets are going to be a key picks even for this week, considering they're doubled on 25. So we're going to probably discuss on which of the Arsenal assets are good in the longer run, covering even Game Week 25. So that is something we will talk. Obviously, we'll cover up on the cheap defensive enablers. I think I will rather move on to what we're going to discuss. That will be pretty much easy. So we're going to first start with looking at Game Week 22 so far, what we have seen, bearing this one game left to play. The City players to pick, obviously the midfielders, Arsenal attackers, who would be the ideal triple up if you don't want Ben White. And then we'll look at these cheap defensive players or maybe defensive enablers also for 25, answering your questions. And then we'll show off our bus teams at the moment. So let's go on quickly to Game Week 22. I mean, I want to ask Sankalp straight away, anything that caught your eye?
Chelsea Fulham draw, right?
You're not talking the Arsenal game.
No, I think
there's another obvious standout game from the week, man. Come on.
Yeah. Aston Villa Leicester.
No. It is Wolves versus Liverpool. That was for me the game of the week, or rather the second best game of the week. For me, the obvious choice was Spurs City. I didn't expect that result. I knew that Conte might put a grilling performance out of City. They want to somehow get away with a draw or something, but a 1-0 victory it sort of gave me a pretty good feeling about the way how the league is shaping up. It kind of helped you guys, and for once, yeah, you guys can be really thankful to Spurs.
For sure. I had Kane in my team as well, so I was really rooting for him. And typically, City struggles away, right? Something that we did not discuss last part, but they generally struggle away. And this time, Conte was not even there. He was there in Italy, chilling. And the assistant manager comes up and he still, ensures that there's a very strong performance. But good matches overall. I think so far, Game Week 22 has been fun. I mean, a lot of good points as well for everyone. Triple captainers are enjoying, right? But
there's one more to go, man.
I know, one more. I'm really, really afraid of it because I'm not triple captain Rashford. I'm just captain. I don't know what will happen tonight. It's like mayhem, right? They can do anything. But overall, good matches so far. Everton-Arsenal, man. What a performance by Saunders. I mean, I want to not talk about it, but it's so difficult not to talk about it.
That's why we kept it for the last.
typical Saunders, right? But I think it was so good because he had just 4-5 days, right? The structure, the positioning, the off-the-ball movements, everything was top class. So, I was discussing in a group, Arsenal fan group, right? And everyone is like, hey, is this going to be the new normal? Right? Everyone is going to, defend this way against us. I'm like, okay, everyone is defending against us in this way, right? United tried it. They sat back a lot. Liverpool had done it. I've seen a lot of teams do it, right? But to be successful in doing it requires a level of, intelligence, competence, which has to be at par with our attack as well, right? So, and Saunders did it in 5 days, man. Such a nice coach. I'm so happy to see him back. Obviously, not the best way to welcome back.
And the goal coming from Trocosti. That's the icing on the cake, right?
The Burnley boys doing the job.
Exactly. And I read a stat. What's up with you guys in Goodison Park, man? It's been 6 years that you won a game in Goodison Park. I read this tweet exactly just before the game started. And I was like, okay, this is something, it's kind of making sense now.
It's like Spurs, City to Spurs, right?
All right. Talking about games, I wanted to throw another game in and probably slightly touch upon that, and probably we'll jump on to the next section. So I'll go to Aditya. What do you think about the red card to Casemiro?
Before we go to that, Sankalp was saying that gaming scenario was very good so far, very entertaining. I think I feel bad for Jesse Marsh who got sacked. So there was one guy who lost his job while the other teams enjoyed getting points out of nowhere, like coming back. Especially, I think the Wolves Liverpool game was. I can't imagine what is going on there. But I feel bad for Liverpool. It's like that cycle, right? Every club is going through all the cycles at different times. So, I mean, there's nothing to laugh about in that. But I feel bad for Liverpool, the way they're playing. Other than that, the red card one, I will come to...
All this discussion, right? All this discussion about I feel bad for Liverpool, right? I want to see how many players you guys get in Game Week 25.
See, people will
end up... We're all going in for Salah. We're all going in for Salah, the likes of Salah or Trent or whatnot. But that'll come into a later point of time. We have time for that.
Yeah. I mean, Casemiro's red card is something. I mean, like when you watch it in the slow motion over and over and again, it feels like it's some WWE choke slam going on there. But other than that, I mean, it was probably the light of the moment where he had to push the players out and
push exactly.
I mean, at that time, we don't know what players are thinking. They just want to stop the fight. You know, they don't want some ruckus to create there. It was very much closer to the fans also. So, you have to be very careful. You have to shield the place and probably to move that away and all it happened. But I think if he appealed, it would have gotten worse is what I read. So, I think he would have missed the League Cup final. I think somewhat is what they were coming on. So, I think they played it safe. But it's fine. I think we have Marcel Zabitzer to play now. Not good putting player. A lot of pressure on him, but he's someone who has played well in the Bundesliga, who has the caliber to defend as well as attack, has the passing, long-range passing abilities and all. So, I think they'll be able to handle it in his absence.
Yeah, and it was a very spirited 10-15 minutes cameo that he played. He was quite good in that 10-15 minutes. Of course, you know, that's no measure to judge him. Or his performance, how will you know how he's going to adapt and stuff, but definitely some. At least I'm happy that someone is there. You know, given the way our January transfer window went on, had it not been this guy, I don't know where we would have turned in. You know, and given that McTominay is also out now, the only lone defensive midfielder we have right now is Fred. So, I really don't understand how things could have gone if not for him. Yeah. Something is there.
Last year news, suddenly their guys, you know, United got in and closed it, right? I think one more club was interested. I don't remember which one. I'm assuming Chelsea. It's Chelsea. I'm assuming it's Chelsea.
Chelsea, like everyone. They're always you interested. Want to buy everyone.
Yeah. See, right, but if you thrown your name... You know, stating that I can't play football. They would have come at your doorstep for your signature. That's how crazy Chelsea were, right? Yeah.
I will just pin this comment because this is something we have all been discussing over the last few weeks. The way Andy Carroll went on Eriksen and the way Fabinho went on Ferguson, these were two instances that had to be booked straight away. While exactly. You know, it didn't happen, so. That's how flawed the game is at the moment. And we can't blame the refs at this point. So, they have been pretty much inconsistent. And let's not slate them. Let's go ahead. What is done. And the clubs are not even going to appeal for an overturn. So, I think let's look at Game Week 23. What is going to be right in front of us? It's obviously two big teams that double at this point. That's Arsenal and City. And Arsenal, although I think both the teams have a lot to play for. Arsenal want to keep up their spot. City want to, you know, get those points and put on the pressure. So, anything to add, Sankalp, straight away in terms of Arsenal?
I mean, one good thing about the loss at Everton is, you know, every time we have had some sort of, you know, defeat or draw, you know, some sort of setback, we have come back very strong, right? And that is the point that I'm taking forward into this game, and I'm really looking forward to it because one, we have defeated Brentford away 3-0, and we are one of those rare teams to have done that, you know, completely outplayed Brentford at their home. And playing them at our home, I think it's a good way to get that confidence back. And obviously, City game is going to be so, so vital. Right? It's a six-pointer game for the title. So I hope that we get good points out of it. You know, I don't want point, I want points. And I want the 3 points. Because if we do, it's you know, something that not only it's the points, but it's also the mentality, right? It gives a huge boost to you. And suddenly that confidence is that, hey, we can do it, right? So that is going to be one game to look at. Apart from that, also, I think there are a lot of good games. For example, Kepa is doing such an amazing job post-World Cup. I'm so happy, you know. I think I owe some a bit of my revival to him. And I'm looking forward to West Ham Chelsea. Because this is an away game. I don't know. West Ham looked a bit better now. The way they attack Newcastle, they killed my double Newcastle defense. So I want to see whether they can kill Chelsea again. But Kepa is really on form. That's one match that we have to look. Palace and Brighton is something that we have to look, you know. Brighton is a team on form. Mitoma keeps scoring. I'm so happy to have got Mitoma on hit last week. Right? But I think I'll have to bench him this week. So I don't know what to do.
Then you'll get a double digit ball.
Right, and where are Spurs? Spurs are playing Leicester. And that's one match I'm really looking forward to because generally Kane does well that week. I mean, one of the biggest reasons for me to not sell Kane was matches like this, Leicester away, West Ham home. And I was just checking out the stats. In the last three matches, I think Kane has 3 goals and 2 assists for Leicester away. And similarly for West Ham home, he has 3 goals and 3 assists. So, fairly consistent in these kind of fixtures. So, let's see how things turn out.
Suresh, you want to write out something very quickly?
Yeah, I mean, for me, pretty much what Sankalp mentioned, the only other game that I'm keenly interested in is the Leeds game. You know, obviously, on a given day, the crowd at Ellen's Road can turn into, you know, a nightmare for United, always. It has been. They are managerless, of course, as we touched upon. But that's something which doesn't play a major role when it comes to these kind of a rivalry goes in. Probably that's, again, you know, a few more days away. Maybe they might get in someone. But playing back-to-back, that's going to be keen. No? So that's one other game that I'm looking forward to.
And obviously, we have the Merseyside derby also. That's Liverpool versus Everton, which is another big game, not to talk in terms of FPL perspective, but rather to watch as a footballing game. Obviously, Liverpool are struggling and Everton are back with, you know, Sean Dyche. And I can just see, you know, again, a 1-0 something is going
to happen. I was about to say that if Everton comes out with a 1-0 victory, that's the classic written in all measures, you know.
But talking about Leeds United, right, generally I've seen that Bruno does well in those fixtures, right? Even though we don't have Bielsa team, we'll keep on pressing. I expect Leeds to be a bit more defensive tonight, right, in their match and not come out like a mass, just mass side. But at home, they will have to attack United. I don't think they'll have a choice. This is 1 week. This is one reason I think I have, you know, I've decided not to sell Bruno. I'm going to continue for very similar to Kane, right? You have good fixtures. You know, these are the kind of fixtures which suit certain players. So I'll be very interested to see how Bruno does, because if he can get those spaces in counter-attacks and maybe he can set up Rashford, maybe he can set up Weghorst, right? I think he'll continue playing, right? Weghorst. So one of these things should happen, and who knows, you might have a good strong victory because it completely plays into the hands of United to play on counters, right?
Yeah, I think for us, it is to remain consistent is what is important. So how we play tonight also matters, and that's how it's going to be again in the weekend. But Leeds, again, obviously, they don't have a manager. I think it's Chris Armas, who was at United under Rangnick last time. So, he's going to be there along with another, I think, staff.
Two more guys. It's a three-man team.
So Armas joined in 2 weeks before. I think one thing that I don't understand is that Leeds backed Marsh very well in this window. They got a lot of players with Weston McKennie and the others, and they fired him. So I was a bit surprised. I mean, like, if you wanted to, you know, throw him out, why did you spend so much in the winter to give him a game and to fire him?
It's the results, I think, that tipped off, you know. The results were not going and nothing seemed to have changed at all. If you see the pattern of the way they concede goals, they really start each and every game really well. You know, 10-15 minutes of spirited performance and then they concede. Then they, you know, they shoulders down and they never go back with that kind of a performance again for the rest of 60-70 minutes. So there was no tweaking or nothing of sorts from Jesse Marsh over the period of time, if you watch the games closely enough. So probably that's one thing, maybe, you know, the breaking point where they want to, okay, it's time to let go and probably see other options and stuff.
Yeah, the closer and closer we get towards the final set of games, right? Teams who are closer to relegation, they will start thinking on these lines. So should we continue and get relegated? Because the difference between playing in Premier League and Championship is so huge in terms of money, right? It's not a small amount anymore, right? So every club wants to stay in the Premier League and they are going to do anything. Even if it means taking some short-term decision, they'll take that short-term decision just to try and escape, right? And then they'll take a long term, like Everton did with Lampard. At the end of the day, they got saved, right? And now once they saw that, okay, long-term, it doesn't make sense, they took him out, right? So... But yeah, if they could take this decision prior to the transfer window and get someone like, they could have got someone like Saunders itself, right? Just because they took this decision a few days later, they now don't have that option.
The problem is their style of football, what they want to play, might have not suited off Saunders, right? It is they might have wanted to go with some other contra picks. That is available. I see even names talked about at the level of, you know, Pochettino getting involved in the Leeds position. But that's something which, you know, we need to wait and watch.
Yeah, I doubt he'll come with this relegation threat still on, right? Maybe next season, right in the summer. But I don't think he comes under this threat. He'll not want to manage in the Championship for sure, after PSG.
I think we'll move on to the next segment.
Yeah.
But before that, I think it's more or less for the clubs. It is very difficult to identify the exact time that they need to take these calls. Sometimes it goes their way. Sometimes it just doesn't go. I think Burnley was the best example last season where it didn't go their way. But overall, I think Burnley will be back, more or less back in the next season. So maybe the other way it made sense. Okay, let's go on to one of the arguably the most talked upon topic going on, which Man City midfielder should we get rather player? Because obviously there are defenders to look at if you want, but with City again, I mean, it's a different City we are seeing. They are conceding one goal and all, which is kind of getting, you know, tough for us to pick defenders. But keeping defenders aside, we need to look at midfielders. So here are the three midfielders. Obviously KDB, most of us would have transferred him out or still have him. But the other two names are names that people would definitely like to get in. So we'll start with KDB. So I'll go to Suresh straight away.
And one name, I really don't know what to do. I personally have him in my team. I am torn between options, you know, to let go or hold on. If you see the numbers, it kind of speaks for itself. You know, the way he has started the season and the last, you know, the run of games from 17 after the restart, it's a drastic downfall in terms of his, you know, goals or be it assists, the number of shots that he takes, shots inside the box. It's kind of, you know, okay, but the overall aspect of him getting involved has dropped down drastically. Even the heat map, if you can see here, Sankalp has put up a really good stuff here. So if you see the heat map here, on the left versus the right, it pretty much explains, you know, the lack of effort that he goes into the third half of the opponent's, attacking front. So not much potential, to be honest. But on a given day, for a KDB kind of a player with his caliber, he will still might come out with a double-digit haul as well. But whether the number backs it on a consistent basis, if you ask me, it is not. So my take would be, if you have him, probably hold on. That's the worst case scenario you can imagine. If at all, if it enables you to an even better option, you know, a combination of moves, so to say, that enables overall a well-rounded team going into game week 23, then probably it is time to let go. You know, the common question I see is two things. One is whether to let go KDB and let go KDB for a minus four. So there's two things which I constantly see on social media and stuff. I wouldn't take a hit to take KDB out. If you have him, just hold on. But if you're buying a new City midfielder, definitely no to KDB.
Yeah. The returns have not there. Like you said, he's playing way more deeper compared to earlier that we can see. The only thing that I can see is he's still managing to create, you know, good amount of big chances, right? His big chances created has gone up. His XA has slightly gone up, right? So his metrics are more or less, inherent metrics are still there. One thing is we should not be expecting bench during these two matches, because he's getting benched against teams who are playing with a three-man defense. Both Villa as well as Arsenal will play with a four-man defense, right? So at least we know the minutes is there. Selling is a bit, a tougher decision to take. But if you have him, definitely hold for me. I don't have him. So earlier that Bruno KDB hokey pokey that was discussed so much on Twitter, I have Bruno. I don't want to sell for KDB anymore. Right? I'm okay with Bruno playing one match.
After the news of Liverpool double, I don't think anyone is going to do that.
So I think eventually people are going to make that Bruno to Salah move, right?
Yep, down the line. Either Bruno to Salah or KDB to Salah in a couple of game weeks. But yeah, I mean, enough about KDB, I think. We should probably move on with Mahrez.
Yeah, so Mahrez is someone who I really liked. I've seen over the last few weeks the way he's been playing. And for his price, he was initially priced 8. And Mahrez was generally perceived as a trap, as who's someone who always plays well. But he doesn't have the guarantee of appearances, whether he's going to start. So more or less what we've seen maybe at the start of the season, last season, Mahrez used to haul well, play well. The crowd used to get him and used to be benched. And then we're like, shit, I fell in this trap. Now I need to transfer him out. But even though if he would be benched, he would get you those odd four-pointers of coming on and all. But now I think Pep has seen something in him that he's been playing consistently, and obviously we all know how the way Pep picks his team and players, unless they play well in the training and they don't show that, you know, that spirit, you won't be picked. And that's why I think that's the reason probably Cancelo was thrown out to Bayern, and we are seeing a lot of reshuffling here and there with these players. Mahrez is someone whose numbers itself shows up. I mean, even the heat map and what we have been observing over the last few weeks is that he's someone, as it's mentioned on our notes here, and that's what Sankalp and we all have done some research and homework, is that he's someone who is positioning himself well in the box, not taking a lot of shots, but who's become a more of a creative player, and that's what we're seeing, right? Making this 1-2s and going in. And obviously, he's making those even late runs here and there. He's opening himself up to take those shots that a typical left-footed player from the right-hand side will play and take. So, obviously, his numbers are good and promising, and his price, I think it's 7.7 now. He was 8 and he went all the way down to 7.5 and is going up now. I think for a player from Man City who's more or less at the moment guaranteed to play games, I think it's a no-brainer. And in my case, he's an upgrade for me from Almiron is what I'm going to do this week. And for me, that's a no-brainer. And I think for most of us, that will be more or less the slot open with the amount of funds we have. So getting in Mahrez is actually a good move. I mean, the next player also is on the list, is equally tempting, who is priced, I think, who is actually a bit cheaper, who's way cheaper, nearly a mil cheaper. So let's see what Sankalp says about Grealish.
Yeah. Like you, I think I've been confused about Mahrez and Grealish. Mahrez is someone I had thought like 2 weeks back that when this game week comes, I'm going to get Mahrez. But now getting into this game week, looking at the last couple of matches, I'm now looking more at Grealish as a probable option. One of the reasons is, see, the stats that we look at, 17 to 22, is a small sample, right? What you can infer out of it is the direction of form, right? Whether a person is, you know, going towards a good positive outlook, right? Whether he's starting to gain form, and if yes, you try and punt on him. And with Grealish and Mahrez, both of that is true. Grealish is a bit of a punty pick, primarily because those points have still not come. If you look at Mahrez, 3.5 points was earlier per game. Now he's moved to 6.67. With Grealish, it has still not come. But what I can see is, if you look at the metric sets, from shots, he used to take just one shot. Now he started to get into 2.2. He's taking a lot more shots into the box itself, right? He was at 0.83 per match. Now he's got like two shots per match in the box itself, right? And on the target also, he's creating big chances, he's creating significantly more big chances. He's also receiving big chances now, right? And his touches in the box have also gone up. And if I look at his heat map now, I'm like, oh, this makes a lot of more sense, right? So looking at all these things, I feel like, hey, this seems a good opportunity. The player looks to be gaining confidence. And Grealish, we remember what kind of player he was, right? He's just not got that kind of opportunity. He's never played in that kind of system in City to be able to express himself. I feel that, again, that kind of curve is coming for him. So he's kind of a punty pick for sure. I think number one pick for me is Mahrez, if you look at the metrics. But if you want to have fun, if you're chasing, everyone will be going Mahrez or KDB. I mean, everyone who has KDB will stay. And everyone who does not have will buy Mahrez, right? He is your, you know, right side pick, right? Someone you can try out. Also, because the Villa game, right? I feel that Villa game is a game where someone like Grealish can do really well. He can set up Haaland. He can, you know, create opportunities. Obviously, he has that ex-Villa connection. So, that is also going to be a kind of a motivating factor at home, right? So, looking at all these things, I have thought I'll mostly go with Grealish. But these are the three kind of options we have, right? There's no right or wrong answer. But I feel given everything we see, especially from a stats point of view, Mahrez more or less stands out from City, right?
I think even with Haaland, Grealish Mahrez could also be an interesting triple up, right? For those who are chasing and want to go aggressive. But other than that, besides keeping these options, we've not mentioned it, but I want to talk about City defense and defenders. Although this is going to be a spontaneous discussion, what we're going to do at this point. And for me, my initial plan was to ship out Almiron and Doherty, who I have, to Mahrez and maybe a City defender solely because they play in 25. But now with the doubles also announced, right? I'm not sure whether I should get a player who plays in 25 and gets a double or get in a City player, obviously, who's going to have a double now and a single later. I mean, it's totally different two sides to look at it. But which City defender would you go at? We have a couple of options, right? At the moment, it's Akanji, Ake, Luis. I think who are more or less these three will be the most sought of players at the moment. So any players you would like to go for, or would you like to go for a City defender or not?
No, at least for me, definitely not at this stage. No, given that the priorities lies elsewhere. Probably a midfielder might make sense, at least for this game week. And, you know, you do a jump ship from City to elsewhere. But not a City defender, at least at this stage. It was in consideration up until, you know, the other double game weeks, which we just got, which made into game week 25, double game week 25. So definitely not a City defender, at least for me.
I was earlier looking at City defender. Now I'm a bit unsure. Why? Because they have not been playing well. And especially this first match, we could understand, you know, the significance of playing someone like Laporte or Diaz, right? Both of whom are now available to Pep. So I'm not sure whether Pep goes and makes changes to it, right? Akanji has played almost every match except one. He was the guy on top of my list. If I had to bring in someone, I would have brought in Akanji. But I kind of want to see out this game week now to understand what is Pep's response going to be defensively. Right? Because defensively, they are not looking as good. And they are making a lot of rash movements, you know, some mistakes which keep happening. And also, they are quite open compared to earlier when, you know, when City used to lose ball, they used to be so compact and they used to press you so hard, they used to get the ball back, right? Now that's not happening. So that's the reason I'm slightly, you know, worried about going someone this week only to see that player benched. Actually, maybe for 1 week, maybe for one match, maybe for both the matches, right? And I would like to see what is Pep's reaction going to be. I would like to see what is the gameplay that is going to be for the next two matches in this game week, and then take a call. Right? For me, City is still defensively. I think it is at par with Arsenal, Newcastle, United. Right? Four teams. They are the top four defenses. So ideally, I would like to have that fourth player from City. But let's wait and watch.
And not to forget all the noise around City, you know, off the field as well. So I'm not sure if that's going to be, you know, detrimental on Pep, his decision making, the way. I'm sure this week's press conference is going to be all about that. So, you know, irrespective of the game. So that's something to watch out as well. You know, how it is going to affect the team or Pep himself or anything of that sort. But let's not dive too much into that. Let's talk.
Yes. Yeah. I have a follow-up question which I'll ask later down because there's some segment we're going to cover up. So let's move on to Arsenal. That is Sunkel's favorite Arsenal. Obviously, we have three picks here who that people are looking at. And before we start in this segment, I'm going to throw up those two commonly caused, you know, two commonly discussed questions straight away. One is, if you have Ben White, what do you do? I mean, it's a stupid question, but there's a lot of discussion going on. Second is, what do you do with Martinelli? Two pretty much straightforward questions, and we can start.
I have both the players, so I think it's a easy, it's a good one for me to answer. I have Ben White. There are worrying signs. I think United match we could see that Rashford was on top of Ben White, and with a needless yellow card, he was taken away for 5 minutes. That made sense. My issue with Everton match was Everton was very clearly doubling up very strongly on Saka. Right? So both the winger as well as the fullback was on Saka all the time, right? Which gave a lot of opportunity to Ben White to attack and to create some sort of imbalance for them, or, you know, make them decide whether they want to let him go for free or whether one of those players have to go back and mark him, right? He just did not do that. And his body language looked like he was a bit, nervous. He was not confident. He looked very underconfident to me. And that for me was an issue, right? Because one of the major reasons Ben White is playing ahead of Tomiyasu is because of his passing abilities. Because he's very comfortable with the ball. If he starts giving up ball and if he's not displaying his major strength, right, then I think Arteta has every reason to decide whether I should do something else. And second thing is, given the fact that, you know, we spoke about Grealish is a player on form. And given the fact that, the player that we play on right back will be up against Grealish now, right? Is Ben White going to be the best player, defending Grealish, or is Tomiyasu going to be? Clearly, I know the answer is Tomiyasu, right? It's just that if Ben White plays really well against Brentford, maybe, Arteta has something to think. But if it does not, I'm pretty sure that he gets benched for Tomiyasu. So in my mind, I'm thinking maybe this player plays one match out of this double game week. He does not play both. The good part is we might get a clean sheet out of it, right? That's a good part. Should we sell? I mean, it depends. For example, I don't want to take more hits. I have a hit planned. I don't want to turn it to a minus hit to sip Ben White out proactively, assuming that something will happen, right? I would rather see out this week again, similar to Man City case, right? And maybe even change from Ben White to a Man City defender, right? So this game week is going to give me enough information to take that call. So like Suresh said, I'm going to focus on other areas, midfielders, on forwards, make my changes there, try and attack this game. If it backfires, for sure, how much will it backfire by, right? From a defensive slot, right? 4-5 points. Because I have the top guys. I have Trippier, I have Shaw, and I have Botman as well. Right? So I have the top guys who are anyways giving returns. It's okay. Wait one more week, take more information, and then see where you want to move. With respect to Martinelli, I think for me, the answer is clear. His involvement looks very, very, very little now. It's not just Eddie, it's also Zinchenko coming in, right? So both the players have created an impact. Zinchenko is playing clearly as a midfielder, inverted midfielder. So Martinelli has been instructed to stay very wide. But in the case of Ben White, he goes out wide sometimes. He gives Saka the opportunity to run in. Zinchenko does not do that for Martinelli. And on top of that, you have Eddie. Earlier, we had Jesus and Martinelli, and Jesus has a very good, you know, rapport. Jesus used to go wide and, you know, Martinelli used to come in. So we had a lot of good amount of touches in the box. Now that has come down for Martinelli significantly. I was looking at, you know, the XG and XA for Martinelli over the last 5 weeks. I think against Brighton, he had 0.8 XG. Every other match, he had less than 0.2. It was 0.1, 0.2. Everton, he had 0, right? So clearly, there is some effect. He might be on form. He might be off form. Or it might be a positional system-based thing. But either way, you know, it looks like this is going to have some impact for him, actually for the next 4 or 5 matches till Jesus comes back. So looking at the fact that we have 2 doubles before that, right? Why not attack? So I would always say, if you have an option, definitely for Martinelli, sell him. Move out to a player. If you don't have Odegaard or Saka, move there. If you don't have Eddie, see if you can make a combination of that. But it makes more sense to sell Martinelli this week than White.
Exactly. I mean, if you have to split the, you know, the transfers that you're going to make this week and the next couple of weeks, I think this week is more to do with your midfielders and forwards. And next week or the week after, it is more to do with your defense. That is how it is going to be. You know, the likes of Luke Shaw or Ben White are going to turn into problems in the next couple of game weeks itself. So definitely that will be where our focus area is going to be. Just to add on to one other factor for Martinelli, there is now the additional threat of Trossard as well. So that's something, you know, added factor to all the chaos that's happening around him. Yeah.
Okay. He was subbed in 58th minute, right? So if he's not completing 60 minutes, it's a problem.
All right, let's start off with Saka, probably.
Yeah. So talking about the Arsenal system, right? Now that there are a lot of tweaks, and that's the reason we wanted to see the heat maps as well, right? How things are moving forward, right? I think two, three weeks back, we were looking at the metrics. We were comparing Saka and Odegaard, right? And Odegaard was completely, you know, outscoring Saka in almost all the metrics that we were looking at. But now things have changed over the last 2, 3, 4 matches that I'm seeing. Slowly, slowly, the balance has come back to Saka. If you look at his heat map, he is now showing a lot more presence in and around the box, inside the box. So if you look at his touches in the box, there's a 50% rise. Right? So earlier he was having 5 touches, now it's 7.5 inside the box. He's playing a dual role. He continues to play a creative role. So earlier he had almost 0.2. Now there's a slight increase. There's a slight increase in his XC as well. But the main change that I am seeing earlier is that earlier he was taking a lot of shots, right? So if he had 2 shots that he was taking, only 0.64 was on target, right? So now while he's not taking a lot more shots because he's taking them from inside the box, there's a gradual change and he's hitting the target more. Even against the Everton match, he had 1 shot which ideally could have been a goal, but they had 1 defender that covering, you know, and that guy took the ball out, right? So he's still looking good. He scored goals. He's always his internal inherent metrics are good. And at the end of the day, he's also the guy who's going to take a penalty. For me, Saka is our talisman. He's the guy we look forward to, right? Anytime if you're struggling in a match, first thing we do, you'll see Odegaard, any midfielder party or even Saka do is try and find where Saka is and they'll give him the ball. So that's the reason for me, Saka is the first guy. If you do not have Saka, say so you are someone like, you know, who had White and Martinelli earlier, you want to push Martinelli out, I think the first person that you should get is Saka. For me, the metrics, the way he plays, everything is pointing out more and more to the fact that you should start with Saka and then see who you can double up with.
Yep. And Suresh?
So, yeah, I was going to touch upon Odegaard. So, Odegaard is someone I'm looking at personally this week as a transfer option. or I might roll. But if at all, if I'm doing a transfer, it is most likely to be Odegaard. So Odegaard is an interesting candidate. You know, I go back to the very, very first pod that I did with Sankalp. We've been discussing that Odegaard is such a promise. You know, I've been, you know, candidly chatting with him off the line that had we had Odegaard from the beginning of the season, we could have faced a lot of points, you know, that came along our way. So, I mean, speaking of, he's pretty much the focus area of how Arsenal is going to attack. Both, you know, his defensive contributions as well as offensive contributions has been immense. Probably Jesus leaving kind of had a little bit of impact on him in the way how he links up the defense with attack, someone like Jesus. Because there is always that support system in the name of Jesus where he does all the off-the-ball movements and stuff. But if you take his numbers, it is relatively dropped in terms of goals, but the assist potential has, you know, drastically increased from what he was earlier. Not so drastically, but I mean, he is by far the best Arsenal player in terms of, you know, where the assist potential is there. And the price point as well, it is quite easy for anyone to make the switch from someone like a Martinelli to Odegaard rather than stretching their budget to Saka. If at all, if you're short of budget. The only caveat is he's playing a little bit deeper. If you see the heat maps at the bottom of Odegaard, so he's likely playing a little bit deeper role now. But I still wouldn't, you know, have that as a huge consideration if you are looking into him. The shots in box is still increased. You know, that's one thing to consider. Of course, the shots on target has probably dropped. But still, it's an encouraging factor that he's taking shots despite the amount of level of play he has to do with all the defense and stuff. So Odegaard is someone really interesting for me this particular week. So that's primarily my sole focus of transfer is going to be.
And the big chances created. There's a strong change there, right? He had only 0.46. Now it's gone up to 0.67, right? So fairly good, even though, you know, we have had a couple of games at Newcastle and Everton where we are facing very strong defensive teams, but still his metrics have remained intact, right? They're still looking good.
Well, since the last player is left and it's me, I have Nketiah, so I don't have any problem. And he's someone who played very well towards the end of last season. Obviously, Arsenal had a separate contract drama that they were handling with him. So, they had to play him and convince him. Like, obviously, that's played out well for them, to be honest. And this season, obviously, before, you know, post the World Cup break when we had these unlimited transfers to do. And for me, that spot was Martial versus Nketiah. And you know what I did. Most of us got divided. All the United fans were like, okay, well, let's go to Martial. And Arsenal fans, and obviously Sankalp, went with Nketiah. And there was more or less the first week made pretty much both of them got the same points. But then obviously it turned out to be a very different story. Obviously with those who had Martial went to Mitrovic and, you know, had to do those extra moves. And I think even with Nketiah, people had to make those moves here and there. But eventually I have got him back. I got him back, unfortunately, last week. And obviously Arsenal lost. That's something else. But other than that, he played well against Everton. He had one or two chances. One shot just went straight towards the side. But he's someone who's looked promising very well whenever he has played. And obviously, he playing in the center, you know, he's playing like a proper forward, a fox in the box kind of a player. And this is something interesting that he's had better touches than Haaland is what I'm seeing here. And had most shots in the box and shots on target again. So someone who's been playing very well. Obviously, we've been seeing Haaland struggle a bit. I think against Spurs, he had no shots. So this contrasting players playing for different clubs, different forms and all those things other than picture. But with Nketiah, you have, you know, a brilliant chance to get in someone. I think he's 6.7 or 8 at the moment. If I have a quick look, he's 6.7. I think as a second or a third forward, I think he's a no-brainer. I mean, if you can, I think those who have the luxury of getting in Arsenal, I said, I think these are the, this is arguably the best triple up you can. What is right up on your screen? That's Saka, Odegaard, and Nketiah. But other than that, there are some ways where you have to work around. And there's one interesting question that Surya has put in. I'm going to paint it up and we'll go through it now. That he's got Saka, Martinelli, and White. He's thinking of moving out Martinelli to a City midfielder and he wants to get in Nketiah. Is it a sensible move?
I have the same combination and I'm going to do the same thing.
Okay, it makes complete sense, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So definitely. I mean, whoever is your third forward, ideally, I think you should upgrade it or downgrade it depending on the price to Eddie. And Martinelli moving out to City mid is also something that will help you cover the City midfield. Right? So I'm planning the same thing soon.
So I have a different question here. Now, obviously, my plan was to get in a City defender, which I will not do this time. I will get in somebody else, maybe in Game Week 25 itself. But at the moment, I'm more than happy to take a -4 to ship out Martinelli because of the concerns that we'll be seeing. And who you think is the better option that I need to look at with Saka or Odegaard? I can afford both of them, but you know, I need to keep in a little bit of funds so that I can possibly get in Salah in 25. So thinking that, who you think would be better amongst these?
So combination of moves obviously is slightly difficult to assess, but as a standalone, I feel Saka is going to be the better long-term asset. I think he's going to be the best asset from Arsenal over the entire season, right? So if there's a last year, I think he ended with 180 points, right? If there's one person who can cross 200 for us, I think the first person will be Saka, right? And then maybe Odegaard will come close or might even cross, right? So for me, he's the first guy, but obviously if there's a combination of move involved, then you'll have to think which combination works out better. But like I said, he's now much more involved in and around the box. His role is quasi-forward. He's more like our second forward now, very close to becoming our second forward, while Odegaard stays behind and acts as a creator. Right? So both Eddie and Saka keeps on targeting, bombing, depending on from where the ball comes in. So that's one reason. If you have to get one player, I would still say start with Saka and then see if you can get both the players, Saka and Odegaard, I think it's great.
But logically, in terms of the price bracket, Odegaard is at, I think from Martinelli to Odegaard is a rather very safer easy move in terms of the amount of money you can keep and, move around. So that is one
thing. Exactly. I mean, that's what I mentioned, if you're short of funds and if you have future moves in mind, with your funds that you have to make, Odegaard makes complete sense. He's a short of minutes, He is the playmaker of the team in some way or the other, both defensively and offensively. So he is going to be there for you irrespective of what happens with other spots. So I think Odegaard makes sense if you're short of funds or future moves perspective. If you don't have that concern, then definitely Saka.
Yeah, agree.
Okay. With that being answered, let's move on to straight away defenders. This is the last segment that we're going to cover in detail. Let's kind of wrap it up in the next 15 odd minutes. So obviously, these are the list of players that have potential doubles or have good fixtures or, have blanks a bit later. So obviously, there's one player here who is my possible Doherty replacement. And obviously, they have been defending well and they have a good run of fixtures from now on. Other than that, we have a lot of other players who have the potential to give you points, but who are obviously in the bracket of, cheap beasts, cheap defenders who can, enablers rather, I would call. So any of these players that have caught your eye, I think I'll quickly move on to the next slide. It's also, let's have more stats. So these are the list of players. That's Max Gilman, James Tarkowski, Estupinian, Badia Shield, Fabian Schär, and Tyrone Mings.
For me, the standard option that I am looking at as a probable Luke Shaw replacement or even a Perisic replacement is Kilman. So Kilman is someone I'm keenly watching, given the fixtures, the way they are. So if you look at him, he's pretty much nailed on that left center back kind of a role. Given the way he plays, he is there. You can't expect much of an attacking return out of Kilman. He's not that kind of a player who gives you attacking returns, but he's definitely a bonus point magnet. If you see the bonus point BPS here, he's pretty much on the top three or top four out of this list. And given the way Wolves play, you know, they are always defensive first and then probably the you know, take things forward into the attack. If at all, if Wolves are keeping a clean sheet, then Kilman is definitely in and among the bonus point as well. And he comes at a very, very cheap price at 4.3. If you want to cut funds in the next couple of weeks, given that the double game week is also in mind, if you can switch back to the previous slide, Aditya. So he pretty much has the 25 double game week, as well as you know, the probability of game week 28 blank. But that's something to watch out. But for now, I think that's a good set of fixtures, I would say, to start with. Bournemouth and followed by a double. Then even after that, even in, you know, going into 26, 27, they have a decent set of fixtures. Let me pull that. So for me, the player that I'm watching is definitely Kilman for the price point as well as the way things panning out. So 27, they have Newcastle away. And 26, it's Tottenham at home. Relatively tough fixtures on paper, but you can still, you know, grill a nil-nil or something. That's odds with the way Wolves plays. I think Kilman is definitely a cheap enabler for me.
If I have to pick one, I think it might be a recency bias, but I'm really looking at Tarkovsky now. Right? Because again, I was going to say Burnley, but Everton are going to play, you know, a lot on set pieces.
Everton are going to play like Burnley, you should say.
Exactly. Everton are going to play like Burnley. They are going to try and score off set pieces of corners, right? Tarkovsky is a guy who used to do that for Burnley a lot. And back in those days, we used to get him, right? Now he's at 4.2. It makes no sense, you know, not to get a very certain starter, 90-minute guy at 4.2. And then he has a double in game week 25. And the good thing is he has some home games coming up, right? So Everton at home are going to be a different side now. That is something that I'm expecting. And that's one of the reasons that I feel going for Tarkovsky makes sense. Again, he's the cheapest guy here in this block, which is a bit difficult to believe. I think he'll be due a rise very quickly, given the fact that he just gave us a 15-pointer. But at 4.2, knowing that Everton are going to have some home games and they have a double in 25 as well, it's an easy way for me to get a double. So in the coming weeks, if I have to sell white, I think Tarkovsky will be a great, good player for me. Other than that, I just saw Badia Seal playing for Chelsea the day, and I thought he played really well. He looks like a very clever defender, good interceptions, very composed, very smart player. I don't know what kind of threat he brings from corners and all that. We'll have to check. But he's a guy that I'll keep a note, because Chelsea, if they start looking better and get better, you know, Kepa keeps getting points, then why not double up? Be a bit more greedy from a good defense and try to get to twice the clean sheets rather than one.
Yes. And for me, what at the moment is obviously the first two players on the list here. Obviously, Max Kilman is someone who I'm pretty much certain I'll replace him in for Doherty. Obviously, Tarkovsky is a good shout, but I have Patterson, so we don't know once he's back whether he goes straight in and Coleman drops off. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. So again, it's all on that. So other than that, there are a few other players. Obviously, Estupinian, he's been giving us those offensive points lately over the last few weeks. But the problem is they blank in 2025 that straight away puts off people. And Badiashil is the price bracket at 5 share. Obviously, you'll prefer rather going to Botman with Trippier rather than doubling up that way. And Mings is, again, is someone people are not always attracted to, but, you know, with Emery and Villa, maybe in a few weeks, we might see those consistent, you know, clean sheet points wrap up slowly. But I think it's very dead certain that the first two players on the list is going to be the most popular one. And that's obviously, that's what mentioned in our next slide also. But Kilman is basically a good option to purchase, is just solely because of the double that they have in 25. That is what, and the same goes with Tarkovsky. And quickly coming on, I think Hugo Lloris is out. I don't know for how long. So we're going to see a lot of, I think,
6 to 8 weeks.
So Ward to Forster moves happening in some time. And
I won't do it. I just won't do it. Don't waste your transfers on the second goalkeeper. If you're doing a wild card, it's a different thing. But what is a player who keeps on playing it? He's just a guy you need on your bench, if you know, goalkeeper, right? Just in case you have a primary goalkeeper playing in a blank game week, you can, you know, rely on that player, right? It's not like Spurs are a great defensive team either, right? Yeah, they got a clean sheet against City, but they have been conceding goals as well, a lot of goals, right? So
no, it's advantage. It's goals. Advantage Spurs defense, I would say. Given Lloris is out,
you never know, right? We have to see the other guy now.
Just kidding. No, you know, the way the number of comical errors Lloris does. So yeah. I just wanted to throw that out there.
And we forgot from Woods. There's also now Craig Dawson, who's priced 4.8, who did score a goal. Obviously, Dawson coming from the old days from West Brom, where people were, you know, confused whether should I go for McAuley or Dawson a few seasons back.
And he always comes out with a goal, just like Trocarski. You know, Greg Dawson, I never know. You never know how he does that. But he comes out with a goal in the most unexpected games.
Yes. And there's another player that I wanted to really talk about, who I thought would play well in a few weeks, but unfortunately is injured. And that's Dominic Calvert-Lewin. And I thought, based on the aerial, where they'll play route one football, but he's actually out with a thigh injury. So I don't know whether he's going to be back in time or he's gone. So I think there's going to be some desperate moves in Gaming 25 where people are going to eventually go and get Everton midfielders. But that's something that we have to discuss later. There's going to be some situation like that even happening. But other than that, I think we've pretty much covered everything. In terms of Game Week 25 doublers and all, it is much easier for us to discuss when we reach closer to Game Week 25 rather than talking now. But some of the defensive players, the defensive moves are, you could trigger at the moment to take, you know, the advantage of the fixtures that maybe Wolves, a team, I think they have decent run of games up until 25, except they play Liverpool. That's just one odd game and Liverpool are, you know, not that great. So I think other than that, we've pretty much covered everything for this Game Week 23's podcast or stream. And now let's go on lastly very quickly to our bus teams and then let's wrap it up. So Sankar, please, your team, any changes you'll be making?
I'll take a hit, -4. I'll sell Martinelli. Most probably I'm getting Grealish. I have money for Mahrez, but might get Grealish. It's just a, you know, vibes check, a vibes thing. And I'm going to upgrade Ferguson to Eddie, so I'm going to play a 3-4-3 with this performance.
Very well. Let's next.
I'm putting Doma on bench.
Yeah, it's something that I'm not at all comfortable with. But, you know, United are playing Leeds away, right? It's something that I really feel about. And Palace away is not an easy match. United also drew their 1-1, right? So I'm hoping that it turns out to be something. Mithoma can take a break. He can take rest. He can chill pill and come back and score next week.
Pretty much obvious. I was just pulling your legs.
But I'm worried. Honestly, I'm very worried. That guy is scoring from everywhere. He's scoring headers, man. He's about 5'5".
Right. Okay. So my team, I was in two minds, or probably still in two minds. One is I might roll the transfer. I want that cushion going into next week to see what happens. You know, want just to ride it out. There's two obvious concerns in my team are Kevin De Bruyne and Martinelli. So I initially had a very radical decision of throwing KDB and Mitrovic out for Kane and Mahrez. But given the 25 doubles out, I kind of put that plans, you know, in the back burner for now. And want to see how things panning out. So I want to have KDB there. Probably a switch to Salah somewhere in the next couple of weeks. So that's the plan. So Martinelli probably goes and in comes Odegaard. That is one possible move. Else I'm going to roll the transfer and it will be the same team.
Yeah. I mean, it's so attractive, right? KDB, Metro is to Kane and Mahrez.
On paper it is...
I'm just going to repeat it once. But I think it makes sense, right? You take more information and then use it. Obviously, why take a hit now?
Well, this is my team at the moment. I've not obviously made the moves yet. Proper bust team here. So, one move that I was pretty much certain is I will definitely do Almiron to Mahrez. And since Sankalp has, you know, made me, you know, decide that Martinelli is not certain to, you know, get us those points and, you know, guaranteed of minutes and all the other concerns that are looming around, I'll have to bite the bullet, take the hit, and do Martinelli to Odegaard, because that's the only sensible move I can do, so that in future, in 25, I need to upgrade Fernandes to Salah. I will need to have those extra funds. So that's the reason. Otherwise, I can afford Saka for Martinelli, but you know, I don't want to end up, you know, wasting a lot of transfers towards the end. So that's where I stand at the moment. And
Almiron plays for you?
No, I'll be replacing Almiron with Mahrez. Achha. So he's gone.
Perfect.
So he's gone this week, and Martinelli will obviously go for Odegaard for a hit. So that's just those two moves there. And I am done for this Game Week 23. I think even that being said, we are also done for Game Week 23 with this stream. And any closing remarks, guys?
Good. I mean, Game Week wise is something that I'm really looking forward to, especially the Arsenal City match, right? Fingers crossed, because it's going to be a very vital match from a title point of view. Other than that, I think a lot of areas where we can take more information going into Game Week 25, right? So, it's earlier a lot of people were talking about free hitting in Game Week 25. I still see, I think, people tweeting about free hitting in Game Week 25. But I think if you can get some information this week, maybe start using that information slowly and adding more you know, players for you. I'm pretty okay. For example, I don't think I'm going to sell players like Trippier, Trippier, Rashford, and Mitoma. These are the players who are definitely going to be there with me. And then players like Bruno, Shaw, I think we have option to play around, right? So start thinking on those lines. Use this game week to observe more, and then plan your you know, decisions in the coming week, so that you don't have to use that chip. Maybe we can use it somewhere else.
Yeah, for me, I mean, that's a pretty good roundup what Sankalp gave. For me, more than next week, I'm more keen on what's happening tonight. You know, given that my triple captain is in hanging in the balance, I hope and pray that Bruno goes big tonight. So that's pretty much, you know, what I want to see. And that also, in one way or the other, as Sankalp mentioned, today's game gives you more information into what's going to happen immediately in 23. You know, you might want to reassess your position on how United players, or how do you want to take United players going forward. So that's something, if you have the liberty to roll the transfer, I think that's the best, I would say. You know, roll the transfer, have that to transfer cushion going into 24. You can make one, you can still roll the other one as well. You never know. So if you have that sort of liberty, roll the transfer. If not, make the priority transfers. Don't be in a urge to make take into -4s or -8s. There's more double game weeks to come. There's more ground to make. So think wise and play wise.
Perfect.
We'll think wise and move wise is where we are going to end the stream and this episode. I hope everybody had a great time listening to it, and hope everybody, when tuning in later, also listens to it, and it hopefully makes sense since we have recorded a bit early. I mean, just a game before Game Week 22, basically, that's the United Leeds game. So we'll be back basically next week, 24th Game Week 24. Look at how things 2023 and how even, I don't know whether people are going to be bold enough to triple Captain Haaland, those who are still left to do it. Like Sankalp,
I'm really looking forward. I'm really looking forward to 25 for triple captain.
Triple captain on Eddie Nketiah. So that's what Sankalp is going to do.
Saka. Right. I mean, So there are going to be decisions you make out of logic. There are going to be decisions you make out of love, right? So I feel like I've never used my triple captainship on an Arsenal player ever because I started playing the game since like last 4 seasons back. This seems like a season. It's logical to do that. Those are the fixtures for which is logical to do that. So I'm going to start thinking on these lines from now till 25. But that's one reason I'm not going to do Haaland triple captain for sure in this game week. Right. I think this is one point we missed about. Do any of you guys, do you feel, you know, Haaland triple captain is a play for this coming week?
No.
For 23. It's a 50-50 call, if you ask me, you know. It is still Haaland. You know, he single-handedly outscored what the triple captain has got in game week 20 or 21. The very following week, he came out with a hat-trick. So, it is Haaland still. But the point is, like, as you rightly mentioned earlier in the stream, Sankal, City is all over the place. If I have to use that word on City, on a Pep's team, they're kind of, you know, they're kind of in a not-so-organized manner. On the overall squad aspect, there's a lot of rumors, there's a lot of news that's off the field as well, amongst the players, the way how Cancelo left the squad, all this put together, that's kind of giving a not so good vibe, if you ask me. So wait it out, you still have more. Saka is pretty good shout, as you rightly mentioned, in 25. And there's going to be more options as well.
There are going to be a lot of mini double game weeks as well, right? So
exactly.
My point is, if you're not going to a popular captain, you can always play this differential on solid players. It's not like a risky punt side. If you're playing on solid players, it's still a good thing. And then you never know. Something might, you know, you might strike gold.
Well, our outro dragged very long, so I'm going to finally wrap it up now. Do drop us a like on this video and subscribe. And your feedback and ratings on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify will help us go a long way. And that big sense, we'll be back next week discussing Game Week 24 and looking at Game Week 23 and then getting a much clearer picture for Game Week 25. So yeah, that brings us to the end. Hopefully you guys have a great time and yeah, we'll see you all next week.
Cheers, guys. All the best.